Benjamin Norton Bugbee, Sacramento Champagne King, written and spoken by Kevin Knaus. Chapter 6, Natoma Vineyard Begins to Grow, 1863 to 1865. Bugbee had many life interests. Chief among them was agricultural. He liked to farm, be a farmer, work hard, and grow plants. He was in the emerging field of California agriculture, where men who had come to California to strike it rich in the gold mines and seeing a diminishing return on their labors from the mining endeavors returned to the earth. California was a desert compared to the eastern United States. There was a tremendous growing season in the Central Valley of California along with good soil. The limiting factor was water. Outside of dry land farming, such as winter wheat or forage crops, California's recognized potential as a salad and fruit bowl to the world would hinge on dependable irrigation during the summer months. Where water was available for summer irrigation, men such as Bugbee started experimenting with all sorts of crops. Mining to farming. When the 49ers arrived in California's Central Valley, it was wide open and untamed land. For all practical purposes, there was no government. The federal government was in technical ownership of the land through the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo with Mexico. But California was not a state, and Congress had not yet defined a territorial government. Vestiges of the Mexican government system of alcaldes and the recognition of land grants were nominally accepted by the residents. There was no one to tell these gold-seeking immigrants not to dig through the earth looking for gold or to build a dam or water canals. Which is exactly what they did. This was, after all, California, a newly minted state as of September 1850, with virtually no communication to the owner of most of the land in the state, the federal government. Within a few short years of arriving in California, the miners had been able to glean most of the free placer gold from the river bottoms by various methods. With the easy gold taken, attention then turned to the river banks and upland slopes leading down to the river. Surely, everyone thought, there must be as much or more gold surrounding the river, in the canyon, than in the riverbed. But there was just one small problem, in that gold mining required the necessary element of water to wash the dirt. It was withering and laborious work in 100-degree summer heat to move wheelbarrows and sacks of dirt down to the water's edge to be washed. Some of the dry diggings could yield $2 to $20 per day in gold. The miners would easily pay $1 a day for water to wash the dirt in situ and avoid transport to flowing river water. Because there were no steam engines around to pump the water out of the river to the new dry mining ground, the next best strategy was to put the river above the ground to be washed and let it flow down. Hence emerged the concept and vision for a water ditch above the gold mining claims. A consortium of miners constructed a dam across the South Fork of the American River in 1854, a couple miles above the mining town of Salmon Falls in El Dorado County. Along with the diversion dam, they dug a canal or water ditch to convey the water westward, closely following the South Fork of the American River. Ostensibly, the water ditch was to service the mining claims that were washing dirt above the river. As gold mining withered because of low returns, the primary customers for the Natoma water ditch along the South Fork of the American River would be farmers and the emerging city of Folsom. Many of the East Coast and Midwest immigrants who trekked to California in search of gold had a background in farming. With a burgeoning population and lots of demand for food, many miners returned to their agricultural roots. Farming happened where there was water in the Mediterranean desert climate of California, regardless of how poor the soil was. By the mid-1850s, agriculture was developing as the second wave of major economic activity in the state. By East Coast standards, the South Fork of the American River is little more than a large creek whose flow could drop to a trickle during the summer. The modest South Fork Dam, later to be known as the Natoma Dam, was able to divert enough water to service mining claims, many of which were turned into agricultural lands in the late 1850s. Bugbee's first foray into farming occurred in 1854 at Salisbury Station, approximately 16 miles east of Sacramento. It was right along the wagon road between the two communities, and the Sacramento Valley Railroad was quickly building its line right next to it. The furniture store he had opened in Sacramento had not worked out. Fresh vegetables were in higher demand than furniture and had a larger market. Crop prices were still relatively high as production farming was still in its infancy in the 1850s. Bugbee left the Salisbury farm experiment behind when he bought property in the new town of Folsom in 1856. South Fork American River. Even though Bugbee, as sheriff of Sacramento County, spent most of his time in Sacramento City, he still maintained a home in Folsom. He also visited the gold mines along the American River to collect foreign miners' tax from the Chinese immigrants. Many of his friends, such as attorney F. S. Mumford, lived in the little town of Mormon Island on the river. Bugbee learned of some property in El Dorado County that was for sale. In 1861, he purchased land along the South Fork of the American River at Brown's Ravine. Later, he would add more property outside of Shingle Springs, also in El Dorado County. Bugbee purchased the property along the South Fork of the American River from Samuel Hardesty for $2,200. The land transfer is recorded using the meets and bounds description of a piece of property where topographical features and landmarks are used to describe the property boundaries. Quit claimed unto said party of the second part, Benjamin Norton Bugbee, all certain piece or parcel of land situated lying and being in the county of El Dorado and state of California, situated on Brown's Ravine, bounded as follows. Commencing at a small black oak tree on the south side of the McDowell Hill Road, and on the Carr and Hamilton northeast line blazed on two sides, running southeast along said Carr and Hamilton's line 1420 yards to a pine tree blazed and marked HB on two sides, thence northeast and versus Brown's Ravine 880 yards to a blue and oak tree blazed and marked on two sides HB, thence north west 1060 yards to a white oak tree blazed and marked HB on two sides, thence southeast 216 yards to a white oak tree blazed and marked HB on two sides, thence northwest 600 yards to a white oak tree blazed and marked on two sides HB, being a tract of land containing 320 acres more or less together with all and singular the tenements and appurtenances. Not mentioned in the description was that the northern boundary of the property was the South Fork of the American River. Also not included was the Natoma Ditch, which cut across part of the property as it traveled west toward Mormon Island and the city of Folsom. The Natoma Ditch gave the property irrigation water. As the property sloped up from the river, and the ditch was at a higher elevation than parts of the property, Bugbee would be able to easily irrigate his farm below the ditch toward the river. Bugbee would name the property Natoma Vineyard. On January 15, 1863, Bugbee bought another piece of property from Warren Lee McEwen and George W. Buckner, southwest of Shingle Springs. It was also described with the meets and bounds. All that certain tract of land situated lying and being in said county of El Dorado, state aforementioned, and located on both sides of the Folsom and Placerville Road, about 40 rods east of the Duroc House, and particularly described as follows. Commencing at the northwest corner of the ranch known as the El Dorado Ranch, thence southerly running above the west line of said El Dorado Ranch, and west line of Bennett's Ranch to a cross fence in the E.S. Hanchett's Ranch, 127 rods, more or less, south of the said Folsom and Placerville Road, thence west along said fence, 17 rods, more or less, to the center of said E.S. Hanchett's Ranch, thence northerly, keeping the center of said Hanchett's Ranch, 250 rods, more or less, to the Eureka Ditch, thence easterly 30 more rods, more or less, to the place of the beginning, being the name identical piece of land which was conveyed to the parties of the first part herein by E.S. Hanchett on the 15th day of October, 1860, by the deed of that date. This property had two advantages. First, it was next to the Placer and Sacramento Railroad that was then under construction from Folsom and completed in 1865. This gave the property easy access for shipping the crop produced on the land. Second, there was a water ditch for irrigation on the property. Bugby would refer to this property as the Duroc Vineyard. The original Natoma Vineyard property had approximately 327 acres, and the Duroc Ranch was close to 160 acres. This gave Bugby 487 acres from which to begin his farming operation. He would add minor amounts to both properties in later years. All of these land transactions were speculative in the sense that the federal government had not yet surveyed the land at this date. A settler could not file a claim for preemption until the territory was officially surveyed by the federal government. The confusion of all the development on the land that had not been surveyed, from railroads, water canals, and property boundaries, would come back to haunt Bugby and many other men. Even though Bugby's purchase had been recorded at the county level, it was still technically federal government land. He and all the other farmers and ranchers were squatters until the land was officially surveyed and they were able to claim a preemption or buy it from either the federal or state government. This technical point of legal ownership or clear title to the land did not impede men like Bugby from moving forward with development plans. This was California. Natoma Vineyard topography, soil. The Natoma Vineyard along the South Fork of the American River was not prized agricultural land, but it did have water from the recently constructed Natoma Ditch. Both the Natoma Vineyard and the Duroc Ranch had some grapevine plantings when Bugby acquired the properties. Bugby started experimenting with crops that would grow in relatively poor soil, with a hot climate and minimal water. He evolved from a California mining pioneer to a California agricultural pioneer. The motivation, grit, and determination of Bugby's agricultural pursuits were not a surprise. He, like many other men who made the arduous trek to California in 1849, possessed a hunger for adventure and optimism that they would succeed, even at the most foreign occupation of which they might avail themselves. The soil along the South Fork of the American River in El Dorado County is not the deep, loamy soil that will sustain shallow-rooted vegetable crops on a large scale. It is subsistence soil at best. No farmer would look at the landscape between the river and the rolling mound of foothills to the south as some sort of Eden begging to be planted with crops. The bench land above the river is not alluvial loam soil. The soil is thin in many spots, tends to be heavy with sand along with granite, rock, cobble, and slate. There is no water-holding capacity to speak of as it relates to shallow-rooted vegetable or grain crops. They will wither with the onset of the first 90-degree day in June, long before harvest. For all the challenges the land presented Bugby, it also possessed some advantages. First was the presence of the Natoma water ditch that cut through his property. There was also a small intermittent spring on the property, indicating that subterranean water flowed from the higher elevations down toward the river. The Natoma ditch was not lined with any concrete. It was dug into the porous soils of the area. The Natoma ditch, like all unlined water canals, allowed water to seep into the soil. Estimates of water loss due to seepage along the unlined North Fork ditch on the North Fork of the American River were as high as 30% in the 1910s. It was evident to everyone who could see that the green vegetation growing right below the ditch in the middle of August in 100-degree plus temperatures, when all the other grasses had long withered away into straw, meant that the water ditch was allowing a substantial amount of water to seep into the soil and travel downhill. Fortunately for Bugby, most of the Natoma Vineyard was below the Natoma Ditch. The second advantage of the Natoma Vineyard was its north-facing orientation on the slope of low foothills. The northern exposure helped ameliorate the intense sunshine during summer months, which tends to scorch most south-facing landscapes. This helped conserve the moisture that was seeping from the Natoma ditch and flowing through the soil down to the river. Bugby's land was not conducive to growing vegetable crops. There were too many rocks in the soil to run a plow through effectively. What did grow naturally on the land were trees and shrubs that could tap into the moisture held deep in the soil during the summer months. Another plant common and native is the California wild grape, Vitis californica, which can tolerate the very dry Central Valley environment. While the California wild grape, with its sour but edible berry, was not a crop that could be marketed, certainly other grapes and vines might be successful in California. Relative to fruit or nut trees that might also be good candidates for the land along the South Fork of the American River, grapes need minimal irrigation and start bearing fruit within just a couple of years of being planted. It might take 5 or more years before a fruit or nut tree would yield enough fruit to make the endeavor economically viable. Through economic and environmental considerations, Bugby, like many other men, started planting grapevines throughout the California foothills. Grapes were the clear winner when it came to yields, considering all of the environmental factors. While fresh table grapes would command a higher place in the market, there was a limited window when you can ship them to market. It was always tricky to work with perishable items because one rail car load of grapes stuck on the tracks could go bad in a short period of time. The question was how to preserve the crop to give it a longer shelf and market life. Converting the grapes to raisins was the answer. Natoma Vineyard. With absolutely no background in viticulture, Bugby would become adept at managing a vineyard and learn the art of propagating vines from cuttings from existing grape plants. His thirst for learning would allow him to step into the world of wine, brandy, and champagne production. His early success and ambition would then help him become a leading authority on viticulture in California. But first, he had to master curing grapes into raisins. One of the first challenges for Bugby was to figure out which grape variety would produce a decent table grape. Then, would this table grape make a good raisin without being leathery and tough to eat with large seeds after being dried? He also had to figure out the best way to dry the grapes, since mold and mildew could be a problem even in California's dry climate. Finally, if Bugby was able to take the next step and produce a commodity of higher value, he had to learn how to construct a winery and compile all the necessary equipment to bottle wine. A lot of information was already published in the field of raisins and winemaking, but not all of the printed information was relevant to California's climate. There were already men in the region making both raisins and wine that Bugby could observe. But it is significant to leap from paper drawings and observations to a constructed reality. Fortunately, another of Bugby's great interests was in mechanics. He was fascinated with the design and construction of different mechanical operations. He was not an engineer, but he loved to figure out how things worked. He might have made a good blacksmith if he had been so inclined. Here again, California, with all its potential, did not have an abundance of engineering talent residing on college campuses or manufacturing facilities. If you wanted to construct an implement to solve a problem on the farm, you had to do it yourself. This was a task that Bugby eagerly accepted. He was on his way to becoming a vineyardist, raisin producer, and eventually a vintner. The Natoma Vineyard was about 6 miles from Bugby's house in Folsom. He could grab a stage to Mormon Island, approximately 4 miles away, and walk to the vineyard or ride one of his horses to the farm. Duroc Ranch was more than 15 miles to the east from Folsom. As far as real estate goes, the Natoma Vineyard was idyllic. The property sloped uphill from the South Fork of the American River. You had views of Negro Hill and the foothills to the north. Bugby could build a house on a hill with a great view, high above the floodplain of the river. By September of 1863, Bugby was able to deliver a complimentary box of table grapes from the Natoma Vineyard to the Sacramento Daily Union, whose building was next door to the sheriff's office. The harvested table grapes so soon after Bugby's purchase of the property indicates that some grapevines were already planted and bearing fruit when he acquired the land. The Sacramento Daily Union published the first of many glowing mentions of Bugby's Figueras Rojos table grapes, which were white, thin skin, and said to be of a luscious flavor. They noted how the grape would make a good raisin and how it should be extensively cultivated. 1863 was also the year that Bugby started entering his products in the State Agricultural Society's annual fair. His raisin exhibit, comprising 25 pounds of raisin, was awarded a premium for dried fruit display. He also debuted his emerging winemaking skills and received a premium for two-year-old red wine and a premium for exhibition of wines from foreign grapes by one grower. Bugby, vineyardist and promoter. Music concerts were an important form of entertainment in Sacramento. In March 1864, Bugby was one of the sponsors of a music concert performed by the Philharmonic Society to raise funds for the Sanitary Fund. Other prominent men lending their name to the benefit concert were Judge Lorenzo Sawyer, Judge J.H. McCune, James McClatchy, and former Governor Leland Stanford. Also noted as supporting the vocal and promenade concert was B.B. Redding, who had been one of Bugby's deputies and had also been named as a commissioner on the Swamp and Overflow Lands Commission. Bugby saw how people enjoyed the music at these musical concerts. It would plant the seed of an idea for his own form of musical marketing in the future. By the spring of 1864, Bugby could devote most of his energies to the Natoma Vineyard, as he was no longer sheriff of Sacramento County. He began to throw himself into being a vineyardist, vintner, and promoter of mechanical arts. In addition to his entries at the state fair, he also participated in the Mechanics Fair, organized by the Mechanics Institute of San Francisco. While the connection between raisins and mechanics isn't readily apparent, the structures and methods surrounding the curing of grapes into raisins are most important. Although the process was relatively simple technologically, Bugby had to devise the drying racks and protective coverings to dehydrate the grapes after harvest. He also had to contend with birds and rodents that wanted to munch on his curing raisins. His favorable press attention and involvement in local organizations also garnered him visits from different newspapers and journals to see his Natoma Vineyard operation. A contributor for the California Farmer and Journal of Useful Sciences took a tour of Bugby's farm in 1864. The journal reported how Bugby cured his raisins. He makes a framework near the vineyard over which he places laths, making a wickerwork frame. On this he lays straw paper. The grapes must be thoroughly ripe. They are gathered and laid on this paper. In 10 days they are turned over. They will then flatten, and the work is done. The frames are protected from birds, bees, etc., by mosquito bars. After they are thus cured, they are packed in large boxes between layers of paper for a brief time, then finally packed and sent to market. At the time of the farm tour, the Natoma Vineyard had 32,000 vines, and Bugby's Duroc Vineyard, 2 miles west of Shingle Springs, had 17,000 vines. Bugby's large-scale curing operation allowed him to produce 6,000 pounds of raisins from his 1864 harvest. The yearly raisin imports into California was approximately 50,000 boxes, with the average box costing $5. The raisin imports into the eastern United States from foreign countries were even more expensive. This meant there was a healthy East Coast market for raisins from California. For any California raisin producer, $5 per box was a good return on investment. This also prompted Bugby to propagate 40,000 cuttings of his Figueras Rojos vines and expand his operation to sell his vines to other aspiring viticulturalists. The Sacramento Daily Union also reported on Bugby's raisin exhibition at the fair of the Mechanics Institute in San Francisco. They noted that Bugby was continuing to experiment with different grape varietals for raisins, and his overall success was a positive sign for agriculture in the foothills of California. Part of Bugbee's strategy for promoting his agricultural products was through the use of free samples. Specifically, he started sending out samples to local newspapers and regional publications. He had a knack for self-promotion and marketing. Over the years, he would nurture all of his newspaper contacts to get free press mentions about his operations and products. He wasn't only promoting himself, but the overall potential of California agriculture. He was studying all aspects of vineyard horticulture. By the early 1860s, he learned how to propagate new vines from existing stock. In 1864, he started advertising grapevines and cuttings for sale. The grapevines were 1 year old and had established a root system. The cuttings were simply grape canes that had been cut after the leaves fell off in the autumn. When properly stored over the winter, they would begin to push out roots at the nodes on the cane. For $30, a farmer could get 1,000 of Bugbee's increasingly famous Fajarcer Ghost grape cuttings. For $60, a farmer could purchase the young grapevine with roots and a higher potential of survival after being planted. As advertised, all orders had to be paid for in gold coin. Bugbee would then securely pack and ship the vines or cuttings through Wells Fargo & Company's Express. In addition to his raisins, white wine, and champagne Fajarcer Ghost, aspiring vineyardists could also buy cuttings from varieties such as White Muscat of Alexandria, Royal Muscadine, Black Prince, White Riesling, Black Hamburg, Flame-Colored Tokay, White Malaga, White Tokay, Black Zinfandel, White Sweetwater, Red Frontignan, White Nice, Verdelho, Red Frontignac, White Frontignac, Benny Carlo, Red Burgundy, Medoc Trollinger, and more. Bugbee's advertisement proudly mentioned that his grapes had been awarded premiums at the state fair. Either by design or accident, Bugbee was establishing himself as an expert in all things viticulture in the state of California. Bugbee was also planting fruit trees at his Natoma property. As a testament to his agricultural expertise, he sent to the Sacramento Daily Union a branch from his orange tree bearing 5 mature oranges in January 1865. Fig trees were also being planted. Bugbee entered several drums of dried figs at the next state fair. Sacramento was the beneficiary of Bugbee's produce. The store of Church and Clark on Front Street proudly displayed and sold Bugbee's raisins. The general conclusion was that the locally produced raisins were equal to, or better than, the imported Mediterranean varieties at the same price. There was simmering local pride that California was relying less on imported goods and producing commodities and specialty crops that were better in quality than the imported items. People were eagerly anticipating the time, in the not-too-distant future, when California would be exporting more agricultural bounty, both domestically and internationally. Since the occasional gift basket of grapes or raisins to newspapers had generated free press for those items, Bugbee started sending out cases of wine to local newspapers as well. The newsroom at the Sacramento Daily Union must have been quite excited to receive a couple of cases of complimentary wine, consisting of 10 different varieties grown, fermented, and bottled at the Natoma Vineyard in 1865. The only caveat of the generous news article was the mention that age alone is wanting to make them a favorite beverage for experienced wine drinkers. And it was probably a fair assessment, since the wines were of a recent vintage. Perhaps because of the generous wine offering, the newspaper sent up a correspondent to inspect and report on the Natoma Vineyard. Quote, Bugbee's vineyard at this place comprises 44 acres, containing 32,000 vines, principally foreign and domestic varieties, all of which will bear the coming season. The vineyard is located in a little hollow or depression of land, very much in form resembling a butcher's tray. It is sheltered from all strong winds except that from the northwest, which but seldom blows. Through the middle of the vineyard runs a small stream of spring water, while around the south and east sides runs the ditch of the Natoma Water and Mining Company, which is used 3 times a year in May and June for irrigating purposes. The soil, which contains considerable stone, is comprised of the debris of rotten granite, quartz, and slate, the latter rock in many cases cropping out of the ground. The soil varies in depth from 6 inches to 3 feet upon a substratum of decomposed slate rock into the vertical, fissures of which the roots of the vines penetrate and derive warmth. The vines are of 72 varieties, the larger number of one kind being Fijer Sagoz, a variety of white grape from which Bugbee makes his raisins. By some parties, this grape is claimed to be the white Malaga, with a Hungarian name, but the fruit of the white Malaga, which grows in the same vineyard of which a large number of vines are in bearing, contradicts such an assumption. The Fijer Sagoz is a prolific bearer, with very large bunches of translucent, oblong-shaped fruit, while the white Malaga is a scanty bearer, with struggling bunches of round berries. No candid person can see the two vines growing side by side and claim they are of one variety. From the Fijer Sagoz, Bugbee has this season made about 10,000 pounds of raisins, besides making a large quantity of wine, they being a most excellent wine grape, also a table grape, but too tender to bear rough transportation. The process of making raisins is simply to pluck the grapes when they begin to shrivel and place them upon scaffolding in the open air and sun, turning the bunches twice during the curing. About 20 days is consumed in this way when the bunches are put in about 60 or 80 pound boxes and pressed between boards. In layers, they sweating slightly during the process. After exposing them to the air for a short time to evaporate the remaining moisture and become cool, the raisins are packed in boxes ready for sale. In winemaking, Bugbee lets the grapes shrivel somewhat before plucking, as he thinks the wine is thereby made of better quality, although of less quantity. He has made about 8,000 gallons of wine this season, a part of which is fermented in the pulp and skins in large redwood vats containing 1,000 gallons each, and a part is made by pressing out the juice and fermenting that in vats separated from the skin and pulp. Bugbee will probably make 1,000 gallons of cognac brandy this fall, using the second growth or late grapes exclusively for that purpose. His wine cellar and fermenting room are on the south side of the vineyard, the cellar part being built into the hill. The cellar walls and roof are composed entirely of the slate stone found on the spot. The cellar is 18 feet wide by 54 feet long, the room being 18 feet high in the clear, the walls 2 feet thick, the floor laid in cement, the door of heavy iron, thus making it fireproof and ensuring an equal temperature at all seasons of the year. The fermenting house on top is 22 feet wide by 54 feet long. In the cellar there are 2 casks of redwood of 1,400 gallons each and 1 oak cask of 1,010 gallons, besides many smaller ones. Some idea may be had of the climate of the vineyard from the fact that an orange tree growing in the open air bears a fine crop of fruit which matures in February. A gigantic specimen of the prickly pear, a semi-tropical plant, is in the vineyard and bore a most plentiful crop of fruit this year. Experience having taught Bugbee the inadvisability of growing a great number of varieties of grapes for wine purposes, he intends reducing the number to 12 of the best as soon as new vines can come into bearing in their place. Another vineyard of Bugbee's is located at Duroc, about 2 miles from Shingle Springs, El Dorado County. It consists of 20 acres containing 15,500 vines, all of which except 4,000 are of foreign varieties. Hundreds of similar vineyards may be found all through the Sierras, from the foothills up to 2,800 to 3,000 feet elevation, unquote. In just a few short years after leaving the elected position of Sacramento County Sheriff, Bugbee had reinvented himself from lawman to vineyardist. He wasn't just a farmer, he was applying mechanical arts to construct a multifaceted vineyard operation from raisins to wine. It was apparent to all who visited his Natoma vineyard that he was not simply growing grapes, he was growing an industry. He had become thoughtful in his approach to expanding his operations, making sure that all his endeavors yielded a return on investment. A large part of his success at the fairs, from his exhibits to young wines, could be attributed to his attention to the details. Bugbee truly wanted to produce a good product, which meant devising structures and operations that resulted in good products for the consumer. Political Party Civil War. The blossoming of the Natoma Vineyard did not diminish Bugbee's penchant for politics. The epic battle for the soul of the United States ended on June 22, 1865. With the end of the Civil War, the Union Democrat Party had lost its unifying purpose, which was to support the whole United States. Even though Bugbee was spending most of his time in El Dorado County, and even had a house at the Natoma Vineyard, he retained his residence in Folsom so he could participate in Sacramento County politics. As one Civil War had concluded, a new Civil War broke out for the control of the Union Democrat Party in Sacramento. The Union Democrats had assembled in the California Assembly Chambers on July 25, 1865, to start their convention. As the delegates gathered in the assembly chambers, the low or short-haired delegates were on one side of the room, and the anti-low or long hairs occupied the other side. The convention had barely begun to nominate convention officers when accusations that the voice votes of the short hairs were being ignored. In an attempt to stop W.H. Barton from being elected convention secretary on a voice vote and taking his seat, the opposing short hairs intercepted him on his way up to the front of the chambers. The convention quickly devolved into a brawl. Solid hickory canes were used by both sides to beat one another. Spittoons filled with their fluid contents flew across the room like bombshells on a battlefield, reported the Sacramento Daily Union. Inkstands from the assembly desks were thrown by the warring convention delegates. Pistols were used as clubs. Chairs were broken and the pieces used to club the opposing faction. Several men were seriously injured in the melee. In the end, the long-haired Union Democrats left the battlefield of the assembly chambers and retired to the Turnverein Hall, where they would commence with their own convention. The low Union Democrat Party convention continued the next day in the assembly chambers and was opened by P.J. Hopper as chairman, who was also editor of the Folsom Telegraph. While there were differences on policy between the short hairs or low Union Democrats and the long hairs in Sacramento County, a larger issue was the difference between rural county delegates and Sacramento City delegates. With some exceptions, the short-haired Union Democrat delegates represented the more rural communities such as Brighton, Folsom, and Mormon Island. One of the big issues for the short-haired Union Democrats was a national currency and the repeal of the specific contract law in California. The Union had gone off the gold standard in order to finance the Civil War. California was vigorously opposed to any monetary system not backed by gold or other precious metal. The prevailing rationale was that printed federal currency, greenbacks, would lead to unregulated inflation as the government printed money with no precious metal backing. As sheriff, Bugbee at one point refused to accept the United States legal tender notes for the payment of criminal fines. He, like many other businesses, specified in advertisements that payment was to be only in gold. The Specific Contract Act of 1863 specified that private contracts could stipulate how a debt was to be repaid. For instance, it could specify only gold or that greenbacks and silver could be used to repay the debt. While the Specific Contract Act applied to state and local contracts, the federal government and other businesses paid for services in greenbacks. This meant that no matter how hard California tried to use only gold for its monetary system, local governments and businesses were still forced to accept paper money. This would become an issue for Bugbee. He was selling his wines outside of California and being paid in greenbacks instead of gold, but his debtors were demanding gold. Bugbee was nominated for sheriff at the Short Hair Union County Convention, along with John Foley, Thomas McConnell, and John Rooney. Bugbee withdrew his name from consideration, and the nomination went to John Rooney. The current sheriff, James McClatchy, was nominated by the long-haired Democrats at their convention at the Turnverein Hall. John Rooney would withdraw from the race for sheriff and throw his support to McClatchy in September. A competing candidate, James Lansing, had been put forth by another faction of the Union Democrat Party. Lansing went on to win the election for sheriff. Bugbee showed his support for Lansing by being listed as one of the sureties for the $100,000 bond that the elected sheriff had to produce before being sworn into office. Bugbee committed to $10,000 for Lansing's bond. Bugbee's support for Lansing would be used against him in future political dramas. The political fight for the Union Democrat Party would create deep divisions in the community. Bugbee closed out 1865 as an honorary committee member for a grand ball to raise funds for a new Masonic Hall. The fundraiser was held at the Agricultural Pavilion on December 13, 1865. Other men on the committee for the Masonic Hall fundraiser included Judge Lorenzo Sawyer, B.B. Redding, H.H. Hartley, and Judge J.H. McCune. The ticket price was a hefty $5, and tickets could be purchased at R. Dale's and L.K. Hammer's music stores. Politics aside, Bugbee was still maintaining his involvement in Sacramento civic affairs.